Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
That you would be, and it's January 19th. 19th, Andrew.
That's right. My
Where
goodness.
Where has this year gone?
Flying by.
Yeah. It feels like Christmas was just last weekend or something, right? But
That's
it always
right.
feels that way. And the nice thing, however, for me is that this time of year usually is quite warm and sunny in California, but
right.
not so much the case these days.
I get to pull out my jackets out of that closet where they've been buried
exactly.
for 10 years.
And
That's
you know,
right.
Californians, when it goes below, you know, 72, it's freezing.
That's right.
Here, right?
That's right. That ocean breeze, too. My goodness.
Exactly. So, and on add to it, the luxury of having rain.
Mm-hmm.
We are 40% out of the drought.
Oh, that's good news. Good
yeah.
news. Much needed.
And five more days of it. Four more days, I think, counting yesterday was five.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, here we are, and what a great show that we have today, Andrew. We've got things to talk about. Stage Star, LA's Next Great Stage Star, presented by Princess Cruises, the LA Ovation Awards, and much, much more.
That's right, Michael, and what a great time to be involved in Los Angeles theater, and what I say, a great time to be listening to State of the Arts.
And that it is, because joining us today are two of the people who make Princess Cruise Lines a world-class producer, presenter of entertainment. Carrie Lovegrove and Jeremy Rich are here.
Right.
How are you guys?
Good, thank you very much. We love the applause for us. We don't normally get that in the office.
I want all those people just to follow me around daily in my
right.
daily life.
Wouldn't you love that, to have them in the office every time you got up and said something brilliant?
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah.
They'd still be on your side.
Exactly.
Well, and obviously we're going to get back to our guest here in just a moment, but we should take a second here and thank our sponsors.
Absolutely. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are indeed. And Andrew, we've thanked our sponsors now, so let's say hello. We said a hello to our guests, excuse me. And we are more than halfway through the first month of 2017. As I said earlier, can that be right,
that
really?
That can be right. It's the future, isn't it, Michael? I mean, where's my jetpack and my daily food pill?
Okay, I
what
guess.
What happened?
I don't know. You're going to have to think about that. You may have to wait a bit longer, though. And, Andrew, you don't have to wait any longer to find out who the biggest winners at this year's Ovation Awards were. And we're going to get more into that in just a minute. But before we do, how was your week?
A good week. I got to tell you, Michael, I had the greatest shoot experience I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
I was in the desert out in Mojave after it rained.
When you say that, you have to qualify, you know, for our listening audience what that means.
And it could be one of three for me, right? It could be a fight shoot, or it could be a film shoot, or
yes.
it could be a photo shoot. This was a photo shoot with C.A. Francis Photography, who has done such wonderful work over these past few years. If you get a chance to check her out for headshots, she's really quite wonderful. But we went out on the desert, the high desert, after a rainstorm. And the skies and the backgrounds were absolutely gorgeous. And you realize how lucky we are to live in Southern California, where you can drive 20 minutes to the mountains and another 20 minutes to the ocean, or go out and sit in the desert for a while. It was utterly silent out there, and it was really something special to see.
And have you seen the results of that session?
Some of them, yeah. In fact, you can find them on my Instagram page, Andrew David James on Instagram. There's a few there, but there were abandoned buildings we shot at and some caves, and just a fun night out. We were just scouting locations for her future shoots, but she's been kind enough to take me with her a number of times and that sort of thing.
So this type of a shoot is something artistically motivated by the photographer, right?
It's absolutely
their vision
right.
of something they want to shoot, and they ask you to do it.
Well, and more often than not, Carrie also works as a location scout and a showrunner. So she's deeply involved in the film industry. She's a director, a great director, as a matter of fact. And when you look at most of the independent artists in L.A., you kind of keep yourself moving and working, because you know that the more work you produce, the more jobs it brings in. And I think she's a really good example of that. And it also helps actors like me out there who are trying to keep themselves out there in front of the public.
Mm-hmm.
So. Then last night, as I'm driving home in the rainstorm, Michael, over Canaan, a rock slide happened right in front of me, and I dodged all but one rock that apparently had my name on it, and it blew my tire out in the pouring rain while I'm wearing my wool coat. Yes, so I hopped out to change it. By the way, my Nissan Altima has the coolest tire jack I've ever seen in my life. I've never had to change a tire in that car, but it was a really cool tire jack. And so I'm sitting there laughing while I'm changing this tire in the rain and grunting and groaning a little bit too because I'm getting soaking wet. And I'm in the mud and I have to get down and the car's on like a 30-degree angle. So I kind of have to prop my knees up against the car so it doesn't fall off the jack. And all the time, I'm just sitting there cracking up thinking how glad I am that my kids aren't in the car with me to laugh at daddy while I'm trying to change a tire.
Wow. You couldn't have called roadside assistance of any kind?
I could have. But to be honest, changing a tire is the simplest and most satisfying task I do anywhere.
And it's quite manly.
Yes. My voice was 3 octaves exactly. deeper after. No, I mean, I grew up in the Midwest where, changing a tire is the most basic thing you learn. And I got to be honest, I actually enjoyed it because it wasn't take one, take two, check the angles, let's see what else. It was just change the darn tire. So I felt really good after. I felt like I'd finally accomplished something.
Well, I'm sorry that it happened, but I'm glad that you're safe and nothing.
Thank you.
Cars whizzing by, nothing of that. Didn't bother you?
No,
they saw you?
I was up against a rock wall, and as a fight choreographer, I figured I'd rather have cars going by than swords pointed at me anytime. So it worked out pretty well.
I don't think I would have been quite that calm.
I don't mind it, but you have a much
more
complex
car.
Let
alone know how to do it.
It was a fairly simple car. My car's not terribly complex, but it was funny to do that and sit there and realize the 1 month out of the year that it starts raining in California and I blow out a tire just the way
it is.
Well,
and especially on that particular canyon,
I know,
right? He lives in has a lovely home in Malibu and with his children and beautiful wife, and that's the route you always take to avoid PCH, right?
That's Pacific Coast Highway. Well, and I told my beautiful bride when I got home, I said that's why we get the insurance on the tires, because you're going to drive the canyons. You just look at it as cost of doing business if you want to do that on a daily basis. And then of course I went to the Ovation Awards.
Yes, you did.
A great time. Missed you a lot, Michael.
Thank you.
But they were really exciting. Had a good time. There was a great presentation. Alex Billings, who was the host, she was really amazing. She did a great job.
She is an amazing person and an amazing talent as well. So nice to have some differentiation up there on that stage.
That's right. Be
the master of ceremonies.
How was your week, Michael?
Well, other than the fact that I missed the ovations in person and I had to call you and tell you I wasn't going to be there because of my pup, I have 2 beagles. And are you dog people, animal people?
Are you?
Oh, my gosh, I love her. Yeah, they're, my kids. They come first before anything, and she started acting a little weird in the morning, and I thought, what? And she got a little, called the vet and discussed it, and then took her over, and, it was one of those things where you just had to kind of let it ride out, but I wasn't going to let her do it alone. So
poor girl.
Yeah, so that's why I opted out of that. But I was getting all sorts of messages from our pals that were there and keeping me apprised on some things, not everything. But tell us about it. I mean, it was a long evening, as the ovations usually are.
Yeah. It was. I was surprised. It seemed like they did a great job of keeping the speeches short. But I think any time that you've got people walking up and down an aisle in high heels and dresses and looking all good, that it takes a little longer than you might expect. It was a long night, but I felt like the production moved very well. And most of the people who received awards were very gracious about doing a short speech and then getting off stage fairly quickly so we could move on. So a fun night. And I tell you, that beautiful Amundsen Theater, how lucky are we to have that facility here
in
Los Angeles?
Very much so. And they're very, very gracious. Now, this is only the second time that they have offered the theater, though, for the awards.
Right.
So usually it's a theater in the downtown Los Angeles area. So it is a wonderful experience. And, going into this with the nominations, La Mirada Theater, which is, of course, Kathy Rigby and Tom McCoy's center where they produce, led the nominations going into the ovations with 22, which is amazing. I mean, that is the most that any theater got in the city of Los Angeles.
And well-deserved. They do great work there.
And they had a wonderful season. Center Theater Group nabbed 20 nominations, and some of the other less big houses, such as the Geffen and also the Celebration Theater, respectively earned 18 and 16 nominations, including 10 Celebration Theater for The Boy from Oz, speaking about Down Under.
And it cleaned up.
Yeah.
It cleaned up there, yeah.
Yeah. Very exciting. Michael Shepard was here with us, sitting in this studio, talking about exactly what we're talking about, and he wasn't really too he was kind of cool about everything. I think he didn't want to put anything out there that was...
He's so darn likable, man.
I know.
He had to give 3 speeches that night at the ovations. And you could tell, but by the 3rd one, he was kind of like, well, I've thanked everybody, so I'm just going to go ahead and say thank you again. But he's so likable. He's just so charismatic that it was really interesting to watch. I mean, somebody gets up there to give their speech, and you kind of always are nervous about what they're going to say. And there's a couple little mishaps that were interesting to watch, too. But Michael just looked like he could have stood up there for 5 or 6 more awards and thanked the other people. And
yeah.
He always had something interesting to say. So.
Well, yeah. Did he have a flask in each?
No, time? But I tell you, that
as
celebration
he said on the radio.
It was interesting. Celebration Theater. They said they came on a bus,
yeah.
and that means that nobody had to drive home. So I think everybody was ready to party. But it was funny because you could hear the cheers from that group. You can tell they're a family, and they really do like what they do there. So that was fun to see too.
Well, was there anything that you might have disagreed with that won an award?
You know, it was interesting. I, of course, didn't see all the shows this year, but I did see quite a few of them. I was surprised. I was really glad that our friend Kevin Simmons won with his ensemble cast at the Falcon Theater for History of America. Abridged, which was fantastic. I thought that most of the awards, I was surprised that Betty Buckley didn't win. I thought she was fantastic in Grey Gardens.
I did too, but you know, I didn't think that was an award-winning performance.
It was interesting because I thought that she brings such gravitas to every role that I thought that might win out. So I was glad to see that they didn't feel roped into that kind of thing. But I thought there were, I think it always feels incestuous in LA theater because you know all the people so well. I was disappointed for Justin Michael Wilcox because not only was the performance he was nominated for amazing, but I tell you what he did in Eyes for You, I Only Have Eyes for You, the Al Dubin story was amazing. He played 9 different characters, completely differentiated
that's
everyone.
Challenge.
And I feel like sometimes those are overlooked. I think sometimes it's that big, amazing role. I was glad to see the Rubicon won one for C-Rock City. They, of course, are doing great work. So lots of good awards, and I think, generally speaking, they got it just right.
Well, I appreciate the ovations and the recognition here, which, you know, I would say maybe 10, 15 years ago, we never had this kind
right.
of theater that really was so deserving. And
right.
through this time period, we have... It's really developed,
yeah.
and especially on the smaller level, the smaller houses, like Celebration Theater. They do amazing work there.
Yeah, it's great to see all the L.A. theater community out together. I got to see Lewis Wilkenfeld was there,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, beautiful Shannon Ware was there. She looked amazing. And John Dorff, a friend of mine who I did a film with 15 years ago, although we agreed to call it 10 because I can't be that old.
That's not possible.
Right, but I was 2 when I starred in the film. But it was funny to watch him and get to talk to him. He's an Ovation voter, and you realize how much work those Ovation voters do. They get out to a lot of theater, and they've got a
layman's
commitment. Job ahead of them, no doubt.
That is a commitment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, shall we get into our conversation with our guests?
I'd love to, and I want to continue to talk to our guests, too, because we have a Stage Star to talk about, too,
we
which
do.
I'm dying to hear more
yeah,
about.
Yeah, we can do that at the half hour.
And both of these people know it well. Our first guest today has 26 years of experience with Princess Cruises Entertainment and presently directs creative concept development for the illustrious cruise line, taking on the mammoth task of overseeing the myriad of productions, shows, and passenger program events across all Princess Cruise Line vessels, including the highly touted partnership with Stephen Schwartz, comes naturally to this lover of entertainment who has also managed the dance studio operations and cast recruitment. This multifaceted artist and administrator has taught Princess Cruises professional dancers shoreside, installed the cast and new shows on board, been an onboard performer, and served as dance captain on countless ships. She has worked as a professional performer in a variety of jobs in top-rated hotels located all across the known world and has been seen in numerous other productions, including UK tours of major musicals and West End shows such as the critically acclaimed Dance Spectacular, 42nd Street, and many, many more. Let's give it up for the amazing Carrie Lovegrove.
Yay! It's yours.
Thank you.
We give this to you
Thank
now.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you
what
for
a career
being here.
You've had, young lady.
Boy.
Wow.
And
yes.
I say emphasis on the word young.
That's very kind. I'm not so young, obviously, by my credentials.
It's radio. If I can pull off as young as I'm trying to say I am, trust
right.
me, we can get away with anything. So.
Yeah, it's the love of the work. Though.
Yes,
That's
of
why
course.
We do it.
I'm
Absolutely.
Dying to know how much of those 26 years at Princess Cruises has been on ship. Are you on ship half the year, 3 months out of the year?
Oh, well, I started 26 years ago as a dancer on board.
Oh, my.
So I only did about 2 or 3 years of that because I kind of came late into the cruise ship industry because I had danced in the West End for many years.
Of course.
So I was really enamored about the aspect of traveling the world and doing something that I loved so much. So I only danced for about 3 years, but now in my role that I've been doing for a long time, producing the shows and working with the partnerships, I travel quite a lot. I travel probably about 60% of the year.
Wow. Wow, my goodness.
But some might say it's not work, right? I am traveling on a cruise ship, and I am traveling the world, but doing something that I love.
Well, I tell you, with those shows, you know that you do work hard because they're always beautiful. So. Oh.
So do you ever find that it just becomes a matter of routine, so much so that it doesn't bother you to be at sea for that, you know, long periods of time?
It's never routine in the cruise line industry, that's for sure. I mean, it may seem so, but, you know, everything can happen and changes the whole production that you do on board. So it's always varied and always exciting. But, you know, there is some sameness to mm-hmm. it, you know, so that you can navigate all of those anomalies when they come up quite easily.
Have you as a performer, did you ever, you performed on the cruise lines, right?
I did,
before
yeah.
you became involved with them
yeah.
administratively?
Yes.
Yeah.
For about 3 years.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's one of the great things about the lines, especially, is the fact that they offer so much employment to potential, you know, dancers, singers, and including those who are part of LA's Next Great Stage Star.
That's right.
It's an interesting choice that a lot of people have to make, because when you're trying to make it in the business of musical theater or television or film, whatever your calling is, that you do give up a certain amount of time here, and you're out of sight, out of mind in Los Angeles anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the same thing for me being from England and dancing in the West End.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I got fed up of doing the same show every single night. I wanted variety. So when I found out that the cruise line industry, you know, on a 7-day cruise, you could be doing a Motown show, a Broadway show, and you know, an opera style show, that was more intriguing to me.
Yeah.
And
so you mean all of the same performers are multitasking in these shows?
Yes, all the same performers on board the ship, on board the contract, on a particular vessel, can do those three different styles of entertainment in their contract.
Unbelievable.
So that was just, you know, so not only is that entertaining, obviously, for the passengers, but it also gives the performer some variety, and also enables their own skills to
right.
be developed. So if you did choose to go back onto the land afterwards, then, you know, you have an additional skill set to add in.
So all of those performers, you're saying, would do three different, entirely different shows in the course of a 7-day cruise?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hard work.
Yeah.
And, of course, they got paid three times as much, right?
They didn't, but they got to go and see Bora Bora.
Oh,
that is an amazing opportunity for a young performer, you're right, to get out there and see these places in the world that you don't get. And, of course, you know, as an old married man with two kids, any travel I get is a luxury now, because it doesn't happen much anymore. You must just see these kids come back completely different as they leave talented and established performers, but come back, people who've seen the world. That must be amazing.
It's such a dream job. I think especially for dancers. You know, it's a tough life. It's still tough on board the ships. You know, it's still challenging. It's different challenges. But, you know, the one thing that I loved about it, and I think most people get out of it, is the camaraderie of being with all these different nationalities.
Yeah.
We're like a little floating United Nations. And I tell you what, these people get on better than most people on land, you know, because you are literally living, eating, and sleeping in the same boat.
That's great. Wow.
So
you must make some
lifelong friendships, not only with other crew members, but yeah. also with passengers.
Yes.
You know, they take the cast on in particular like their, you know, the kids or the grandkids.
Oh, that's great.
You know? So I've had friends that were cruised with me 25 years ago that I'm still in contact with, who are passengers.
How fantastic. You know,
amazing.
One thing I've always appreciated about Princess was the fact that, you know, it became so hugely known around the world from the television series,
yeah.
you know, The Love Boat,
yeah.
and that amazing song that went to, you know, high on the charts with Jack
right.
Jones.
Right.
But it also, and it glamorized, of course, you know, the world of cruising, which has always been a glamorous world anyway, but on a more commercial basis, I think.
Right.
But Princess has always moved through the times.
Yeah.
And not only are they probably the most prestigious and well-known of all of the cruise lines, but they've certainly, and what they've been doing recently production-wise with Stephen Schwartz, mm-hmm. and bringing that on board for the first time ever, right? A musical written for specifically.
I mean, we can't be any more thrilled than
that's
having
great.
This partnership. And Stephen is just... I call him Stephen now, of course.
Naughty.
Michael won't even let me call him Michael. I have to say Mr. Sterling. It's
right.
a crazy
as
world.
See? He is wonderful. He is just so collaborative. And he's, even in his, obviously illustrious career, but he likes to teach. He likes to pass the torch forward. He likes to mentor. And he does an awful lot of that. And for us at Princess Cruises, his immense career and his generosity of what he's bringing. And, of course, they're originals.
That's amazing.
He is bringing, we did an original show with him, Magic to Do, which contained all of his music, or his most well-known music.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got, our second show is Born to Dance, which he kind of curated that show mm-hmm. with another producer. And then we're just starting to work on a third show called The Silk Crane with John Tartaglia from
wow.
Avenue Q.
I know John.
Yeah.
And then our fourth show with Stephen's going to be an original one with all original new music from Stephen Schwartz.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, very thrilled. I'm thrilled for the performers on board as well.
And it will have its world premiere on board. A
Princess
cruise ship.
Yeah.
Now, once that happens, when it's on, it's making its premiere on one ship, then does it get sent out to the other companies, to the other ships?
We do. We roll it out, what we call roll it out, to a couple of other vessels.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're trying to do is, and this is really hard to say, spread Stephen Schwartz's show across our vessels.
Only reason she could say that is because she's British. Americans can't say it. It's just impossible. We don't have the diction.
Do you remember Carol Channing used to do a routine where she had that S?
Yes.
I can't even do it. She did it brilliantly, though.
Hopefully, across our 17, soon to be 18 vessels that we'll have, the majority of them will have one of the four Stephen Schwartz shows.
That's
on
great.
Board.
Well done. Well, of course, you have, I believe, 18 modern vessels. Is that correct? That Princess owns and operates in, I believe, over 360 worldwide destinations. Of course, Princess was started in 1965, and really, I mean, the pinnacle in cruising entertainment, correct?
Correct, yeah. And right now we have about 34 different production shows across the fleet.
Am I in any of them?
I don't recognize you.
Man, I tell you, last night at the ovations, I kept expecting them to call my name. Like, I know I wasn't specifically nominated, but I just kind of, it's like, and Andrew David James, and I was always disappointed.
Hope in the heart.
Well, I got to tell you, my parents took one cruise, and by the way, my dad's birthday was yesterday, so happy birthday, Dad. Thank you for being such a great pops. They took one cruise in their time, and they did Princess, and they came back talking about what a wonderful experience it was, because you got to talk to the performers, you met the performers, the food was amazing. Tell me, is there one destination that for you, if somebody's going to take a Princess cruise tomorrow, if they're going to sign up for it, what's the one destination you would tell them to look out for?
Oh, gosh. There's so many and so for so many reasons. I think, for me, I think one of the most amazing things is for a vacation, you can be on a ship, sail around Europe, you can be in France one morning, Spain the next morning,
wow.
Italy the next morning, Greece
wow.
the next morning. So I think to take a European cruise is probably one of the most exciting ways to see the world
mm-hmm.
quickly.
That sounds great.
And when you're in each of those ports that you just named, how much time do you get to spend?
The passengers generally get to spend the whole day there, and it's a long day. Arriving 6 a.m. in the port, mm-hmm. you're probably leaving like 8 or 9 o'clock. And then also some ports we stay overnight
mm-hmm.
so that they can take full advantage of some of the tourist areas that they're going to.
And if the passenger wanted to spend more time there, is that possible? Or did they have to work that all out in advance and it becomes complicated?
A lot of passengers do. A lot of passengers will fly over to Europe for a week and then join the ship
mm-hmm.
and then do a cruise
mm-hmm.
or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, you know, because it's the one place for me. It's the one place. I've only been to London. I've been so many other places in the world, strange places that most people wouldn't go to. But I've never seen Paris. I've never been to Italy. I've never done any of that. So I would be, like, thrilled.
It's kind of like a little taster, right?
Yeah,
because then you could go back to those countries for, you know, 7 or 10 days and really see the country in depth. But this gives you a little taste.
Does it go around the tip of Africa?
It does.
The cruises?
Yeah, very rarely, but more on our world cruises mm-hmm. we'll do that.
I have been there. I have been to Africa. I've actually stood on the tip of South Africa.
Ah, amazing.
It is amazing to see that water, those two oceans, you know, kind of colliding.
Come together, yeah.
And just to the very fact that you can actually go to the, you know, what we've seen on maps all of our lives and stand there and see that. It's like looking at the map, as a matter of fact, when you're standing there in person. And it's also supposedly where the Garden of Eden is.
Hmm. Oh, I did not know.
Yes, in Cape Town.
Don't eat the apples.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they say, little sign by the side of the road.
I got to tell you, I'm so intrigued by it. I've never been on a cruise, but I'm so intrigued by it because the quality of entertainment there has to be so high because it's one of the things that people go on a cruise for. Has it been a struggle to keep that level of entertainment that high? Do you have a hard time finding performers? And where do you find your performers when you're casting a show, working with a show?
Well, certainly it's elevated. Right, back in the day when I was dancing on board ships, It was a little bit more basic, but now these theatres will rival any theatre on land.
Right.
And they're also basically in repertory, right? We have 3 or 4 different shows that happen during the 7 days, so you have to be really careful about the space that you use. So it's a challenge, and there's a lot of cruise lines out there that are all doing the same thing, all looking for the best performers, creating the best shows. So you have to keep up there, but you have to also understand who your passengers are for your brand. And so even though there's a variety of demographics, a variety of nationalities, we try and choose something for everybody across on the cruises. So, but for casting, I'm sure my colleague will probably be able to answer that a lot better.
That's what he does.
Yes, because that's what he does. That's what I did, and I found it a challenge. And these days, I'm sure it's even just as hard. And I like to create shows for him that challenge him in finding the best cast members for me, which he does an excellent job of. And I think for us at Princess, we treat people... I mean, I think my longevity there at 26 years, and you can pretty much go into most departments at Princess and find people who have been there just as long or longer.
Amazing.
We treat people like family.
Yeah.
And being an ex-performer and what Jeremy does as well, we have an understanding of the position and the job, and we understand when you get frustrated or tired or missing family, so we can be there for you. So we have a quite a high rate of return cast members.
That's great.
That's lovely. Last question for Carrie. I think I'm dying to know this because this is what I would think if I was a performer. I'd have to say, oh, wait a minute. Now, on the sea, doing a show on a big stage, what's the balance like on the ship?
It can do. I mean, usually the theaters are always at the front end of the ship. So obviously the movement moves a lot more, whether at the front or the back. But let's just say if the ship moves, we all go the same way together. So we all look like we're coordinated.
I see, very clever.
But what it does also for a dancer, if you're turning and you're doing your double pirouette, you learn to have strong core strength.
That's right.
So a lot of dancers, after they finish doing a contract on board and start working on land, go, gosh, you know, I've really learned to pull that extra strength together from working
on
a
ship.
But we're also very cautious about, you know, safety on board because it's a working theatre with automated scenery, lifts,
of course,
pyro and all of that kind of stuff. So the cast safety is our first concern when the ship is moving. But we very rarely cancel shows. The shows will go on.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for joining us here today. Will you stick around with us for the next half hour and talk a little more?
Of course.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Yeah. Now, Michael, obviously, we're going to continue talking about Princess Cruise Lines, but one of the things I wanted to bring up is why we have these two amazing guests, or one of the reasons we have them here is because of their relationship with LA's next great stage star.
That's right.
Can you tell me how that's going? You guys have just gotten underway, of course.
Yes, in our second year with Princess, being so generous in their sponsorship with this competition, which is the only competition of its particular kind that's in the Western United States. And so far to date, we have launched the career, the Broadway careers of 17 of our contestants.
Wow.
And about 85 contestants overall of the 200 that go through or have been through the competition since 2006 are happily making their living in musical theater somewhere in
this
world.
Can you run a few of those names off for us here? Of course, David Lamar is one of them, is correct?
David Lamar, who was just a guest on the show last week, calling in from his national tour of Jersey Boys. So many of them. They're way too many.
Way too many to
go into this.
And of course, this year you have Mary Zastrow, who's a good friend of mine, as well as...
You mean some of the performers you were talking about?
Well, no, I was talking about previous performers there, but of course, the performers this year are every bit as good as the ones who are already on tour. They just haven't hit that mark yet. And in fact, we had an Ovation nominee who's in...
Natalia Vivino.
That's right. Yes. My goodness. Wow.
She's a lovely, lovely young lady and a wonderful performer. So,
wow.
Yeah. So she is in our competition this year, because she wanted to kind of expand her horizons, not being so familiar with the Los Angeles musical theater scene out here. So this is a format that is patterned loosely after an audition process, but it does give the performer the opportunity to meet the amazing judges that come through the competition, and our next guest being one of those judges, and his second year coming to judge for us from Princess Cruises. So we have the likes of, you mentioned somebody earlier, Louis Wilkenfeld, who was the artistic director of Cabrillo Music Theater, and so many of them just kind of wait for this particular time of year because of Stage Star, because they actually, there's a criteria for the judges. They have to be able to sign someone from the competition to a contract or further their career. They can't just be there because they're somebody that is, you know, interested in musical theater. So that is the benefit of it for these young people. They come through, about 50% of them get hired by theaters right out of the gate, and about 50% also get signed by the agents who serve as judges as well.
And so of course, this year's hosted by not you. You'd hosted for a number of years, correct?
Yes, for 10 years. Yeah.
And who's hosting this year?
Justin Michael Wilcox.
That's right, the gentleman we mentioned earlier. And he's entertaining to watch just in his own right, let alone these great performers you have on stage.
Yes, indeed. You know, I'm very grateful. I've thought of this competition back in 2006, and I have a passion about the arts and helping people find a way in who are interested, which is why I came up with this concept. We've been very blessed to remain here in our 11th year. But for me as a host, I was done. It's a lot of work, but Justin does it very well, and he also brings a nice energy to it.
Yeah.
I have a very different style, but I mean, it was just time for me to move on and be more concerned about some of the production elements, because we have elements that we've never been able to produce in the past because we didn't have the lovely Princess Cruises involved. So it's enabled us to move it into a theater and have some of the bells and whistles that we would like to have, and we want even more of them. So we hope we have a long tenure with Princess.
Well, now, obviously, as you've dug into that, is there a way people can go and see what's up and running as the competition runs for the next few
weeks
here? How can they get tickets to go see that?
Brownpapertickets.com, as simple as that. We love that ticket agency because part of the purchase of your tickets, folks, is given to a charity of your choice, if you wish, and or if you don't make that part of your purchase, the organization Brown Paper Tickets will give part of their take of the ticket.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, so it's very nice. And that's simple. You can also do it on the telephone if you're not too savvy online, and you would simply call 800-838-3006. 24/7, there are actually live customer service operators who are the most polite customer service people I've ever met on a telephone.
That's great.
They can help you out.
That's
so great. Come and see us. We are there through the 19th of February, every Sunday in January, and then February 12th and February 19th, the grand finale.
Let's do a quick live arts calendar.
Yes.
One of Roger and Hammerstein's most fine works is The King and I, now on stage at Hollywood's very own historic Pantages Theater. This iconic theater offering boasts a score which features such beloved classics as Getting to Know You, I Whistle a Happy Tune, Happy Young Lovers, Shall We Dance, and Something Wonderful.
Set in 1860s Bangkok, the musical tells the story of the unconventional and tempestuous relationship that develops between the King of Siam and Annalee I'm going to say Lee Owens, a British school teacher whom the modernist king in an imperialistic world brings to Siam to teach his many wives and children.
Performances run through this weekend, the 21st, that's January 21st, with performances Tuesday through Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Saturday a matinee at 1 p.m. Don't miss your last chance to see the spectacular, truly world-class performance at the beautiful Pantages Theater, with tickets starting at a mere $35.
Yep.
So this is interesting, Michael, because you and I both saw this show with a mm-hmm. good friend of mine, Joan Almedelia, who's amazing. We had them as a guest on the show with her lovely counterpart. The Pantages Theater does The King and I as well as I've ever seen it.
Well, and this particular national tour is just breathtakingly beautiful to watch and to absorb, and a perfect introduction to musical theater for young people, too. It's a story that's interesting, and
that's
it has
true.
Young people in it, and boy, are they amazing. And I think Joan's son is in the show as well.
That's true.
So check it out, because this is the final weekend of performances through January 21st, as Andrew just said, and you have some opportunities here, and as we always say in this show, put down your remote control, get away from that TV, and go out and support the live arts.
That's right. Google that Pantages Theater box office, and you can stop by there. They're located very conveniently, good parking all around, and you'll have a great time.
You will indeed. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a Los Angeles resident who is currently the casting specialist for the world-renowned Princess Cruise Lines, including the new Stephen Schwartz musical Magic to Do and Born to Dance. Before joining Princess, he spent 2.5 years casting the hit musical The Book of Mormon. Past casting director credits include Jack the Giant Slayer, X-Men, First Class, Jack and Jill, Paradise Lost, Just Go With It, Grown-Ups, Get Bruce and Lloyd, and the Broadway revival of Nine, just to name a few. He has served as a global casting director for Disney Creative Entertainment, and for nearly 5 years he has been a casting director and senior casting associate for the Roundabout Theater Company and Jim Carnahan Casting in New York City. With more than 60 Broadway, Off-Broadway, West End, and regional shows to his credit, we are thrilled to have him join us here on State of the Arts. Please say hello to Jeremy Rich.
Welcome, Jeremy. Welcome.
Yeah.
Right. That applause feels good.
That's my applause.
We've totally different people. We bring in totally different people for each
we
guest.
We do. Yeah. A fresh group. They've been waiting 30 minutes.
We have a casting director on the show. I've prepared a dramatic reading of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star for you today. I'm going to be tap dancing to a song as well. How are you doing? It has to be amazing to cast these shows for a cruise ship, because I would guess that you can't just put anybody on a cruise ship and expect them to be successful. Is that correct?
No. Definitely not. And what they're required to do with it having to be like a rep company for a ship where they're doing an opera show, a musical theater show,
right.
A show like a Motown show, you actually need someone who's so incredibly talented and can do everything.
Such versatility. Yeah.
And dance wise, they may be tapping 1 second, and the next thing you know, they're doing hip hop.
Yeah.
So people always ask me, why should I do a cruise contract? Because it will make you a better performer. If you don't have that skill set, you will by the time you leave the ship.
That's amazing.
So dancers, were you a dancer, by the way, Jeremy?
No.
Were you a performer at any point?
We can say that I was. Oh, a very good one. I was never really the performer. In college, I was primarily a directing major.
Right.
And then I got into casting immediately out of college, pretty much. So I've been doing this for...
Did you intern
years.
For particular casting companies?
I actually interned with LiveEnt when they still existed, which was Garth Drabinsky's company, and then had a brief internship with Bernie Telsey's office, and then got hired right out of college on Sex and the City season 2, and that was my first job.
Wow,
that's great.
Okay, well, that opens up a whole new part of our conversation.
Well, casting directors, it's such an interesting project. Each project is so different for a casting director, but you also find performers who always think they can cast a show, and you realize it's so refreshing to have a casting director go, no, I'm not a performer, because so many people think that they overlap. They're two completely different skill sets, really, when you look at it.
Very often, a lot of performers can picture themselves in almost every role.
Right, that's so true.
And it's my job to be like, well, not quite that.
That's funny.
Yeah, but no, it's because casting directors have to see the big picture, and it's not always just about seeing that one particular track.
Yeah.
It's about seeing how the whole piece goes together. So, for example, with like a show like Born to Dance, I need a male contemporary dancer, but he also has to be an acrobat because he's also in this track. And then I need a girl over here who's the ballerina, but also has to do the mambo in this section.
Wow.
So it's about being able to see how all those pieces fit together.
And I would assume that's even made more complicated by the fact that you're asking these people to be on a cruise ship. They have to travel well. They have to be super respectful of each other's space. And I would assume that adds some different dimensions to it when you're casting.
Completely.
Yeah.
When you're in a room with a performer, you're always kind of trying to get a sense of their personality
right.
as well, just because no one wants to hire crazy. It's never a good
You'll
idea.
Never cast again if you don't hire at least a little crazy from my experiences. Everybody in this town, man.
Yeah, but it's a challenge. It's one of the reasons why last year I went to 30 different cities in 9 different countries over 5 continents.
Wow.
To cast for Princess.
You have to be a performer, but you have to be a good person to do that. Like, you can't be a jerk and make it through that tour. That's amazing. Have you had good experiences with performers coming back a second and third time to
oh,
do
yeah,
other?
Completely.
It's amazing.
Yeah, very often many of our performers have done 10 years worth of contracts.
Wow.
For us, because it's a home. We really do want people to come back to us. I also never mind when a performer goes away for a contract or two.
Right.
Currently, one of our performers who was on The Regal Princess, she's now playing Nabalungi on the tour of Book of Mormon.
Wow.
So I'm like, great, go, be yeah. free. And when you're ready and you want to get out of New York and, you know, get away from the craziness of the city, come back and see me, and I'm more than happy to give you another contract.
Fantastic.
Book of Mormon, we have to touch upon that.
Right.
That's probably one of the most brilliant shows ever written for the Broadway stage.
Absolutely.
And it still remains the writers of that show, of course, still have great success in television and motion pictures. What was that like, that casting process? Because you're looking for something very
something
different.
Never been seen, yeah.
You know, it was a lot of fun to cast for, and the creative team was very open to it not being cookie cutter. And I think that's the key to the success. If you look at every company, they could be on any of the stages, whether it's the tour, the Broadway, the London production, or even the upcoming Australian production. They cast it the same way.
Yeah.
There's no one company that's seen as like the premier company, and I think that was a big key. Also, the producers of that show, Scott Rudin and Garofino, really invest in casting. I was hired specifically to travel the country to try to find new talent for the show. And so I would be on a plane one day to Fargo, North Dakota, or Little Rock, Arkansas, trying to find these performers. And we had a lot of success finding Cunningham's, Price's, and Nabalungi's across the country,
wow.
as well as just ensemble people. At one point, almost every Nabalungi was actually found from that tour, other than Nikki Renee Daniels, I think, at that time.
Do you find traveling the country like that and auditioning so many people in so many different locales, do you find that there's any one spot in the country that is surprising to you, that you're seeing so much great talent? Or I've always heard that Texas produces a lot of great talent.
Yeah, there's a lot of really great talent in Texas. I've always had really great success in Phoenix for Book of Mormon.
Wow.
Hired 2 Nabalungis from
wow.
Phoenix area. Of course, Pennsylvania is always great because with Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and the schools that are in those two locations are always great. I think what was most surprising was the training in cities that you don't think about there being training, like, for example, Fargo, North Dakota.
Wow.
Fantastic theater training and musical theater training in that area of the country, and I never knew that before.
It's amazing.
I went there to audition. Same thing with Little Rock, Arkansas. Who knew? We hired a Cunningham from Little Rock, Arkansas,
wow.
and he was fantastic.
So when you're visiting these cities, how many you put, the call goes out in advance locally and with the media support, I'm sure, right?
To a point, yeah.
Yeah. And so how many people, what's an average showing on of people who come to audition for you?
It depends really on the market. So for like example, a place like San Francisco, when we went there the first time, I think I auditioned somewhere around 160 people
wow.
for Book of Mormon there the first time. And same thing with like Philadelphia, but then a smaller city like Fargo, it'd be somewhere between 30 to 50
mm-hmm.
people.
Wow.
But even with...
This is only a couple hundred people in Fargo, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone auditioned the entire town.
Very far to audition in Fargo.
I want to pivot back real quick because I know we have so many young performers listening to this show who may have struggles finding contracts where they live and that sort of thing. Obviously, Book of Mormon's a little bit different, a lot of agents involved and a lot of locations and casting papers. If somebody wanted to audition for Princess Cruise Lines to start off their career in a really great way and get a great education and a great chance to travel the world, how would they find out about auditions for the cruise line?
Well, you know, we're actually in the process of developing a new entertainment website, which I'm very, very excited about, and hopefully that will be launched sometime around April, May of this year. But in the meantime, the best way to find out about it is just go to princess.com and you can search under the career section and you will see our audition calendar up there when we have auditions, as well as we accept video submissions year-round. So if you're a dancer, you have a dance reel, or if you're a vocal performer, you have a show reel, you can submit that to casting@princesscruises.com along with your picture and resume. And if I need to see more material, then I would ask you to put some stuff on tape. But I've cast many performers just via tape because the need is all constant with currently 17 ships, soon to be 18 ships, with the cast ranging anywhere between, on average, I would say anywhere between 13 performers to 17 performers.
Wow.
You're constantly looking for people because every ship goes into rehearsals at least twice a year.
Now, in the production shows, which tell me if I'm wrong, but they're very, very music driven. So it's not a book show. These production shows, or is it?
Yeah, correct. They are musically driven. We're talking about a 45-50 minute show.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them do have a book storyline to them and a thread of a story.
It sounds like the new show that Mr. Schwartz is going to write for you might be a book show.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Obviously, as a casting director, I think performers and casting directors always get a sense of each other and how well they work together. And you can usually tell a casting director who's not got your best interest in mind, you know, somebody who's not going to put you in a position to succeed. I can tell you do that for your performers. So these people who come into Princess Cruises, their first time, are they going to get exposure in all these different places to people on the ship who may be industry related as well? You get a lot of industry people traveling on Princess Cruises, correct?
You do, you know, and you get a lot of guest performers that come on board as well who are big industry professionals as well as guest speakers. But just even within your cast, you're going to be exposed to people with such a variety of backgrounds. I mean, we have West dancers who have major West End credits. We have vocalists currently right now actually on the Majestic. One of our vocalists, he was in Book of Mormon, and he did Billy Elliot on Broadway.
Wow.
And After Midnight and Shuffle Along. Mm-hmm. So just the talent pool itself will expose
Fantastic.
You to working in different areas of the business.
And I think we definitely embrace diversity, particularly with our cast. So, you know, Jeremy also travels around the world to find different strengths, and so we'll have a couple of Russian male dancers that may not be too hot at the hip hop,
nobody can beat them in the other
way. Classical dance is just amazing. Or, you know, we'll fly over to Australia and find talent over there, or Canadians with their tap dancing. So we really pride ourselves on providing something different for the cast so that they can feed off each other as well. And not only that, for our audience members to have a connection with them, to say, oh, that pretty little blonde down there, she's so cute, I love her. Or that tall 6-foot guy, gosh, he's so handsome, you know. So we really like to provide diversity rather than everybody looking the same on stage.
Wow. So
it sounds like a grad school education and you get a paycheck too. That sounds amazing.
Absolutely.
To me. I'm sold.
We could go on and on about this. It's so fascinating. And we've never had anyone from a cruise line on this show in the 6 years that we've been doing this show.
No,
so we've learned a lot today. We have something, though, that we do. Did you prep them for this?
I did not. We are going to totally surprise our
people. Yes, we're going to have to. Yeah, I'm a little blindside you right now. But it's a traditional way of ending our show. So we have to make it brief.
And now, embarrassing moments.
course, the voice of Mr. Ed Hall.
That's right.
David Letterman is a longtime announcer. We are looking to you, Jeremy, and to you, Carrie, to think of an embarrassing moment that has happened in your career, be it on stage when you're working with people in theater or in a motion picture or television, whatever it is.
Casting session, anything you've seen.
One of your most embarrassing moments.
And if you don't have any, Michael and I spent most of our careers building them up, so we can always cover. Do either of you have something that comes to mind?
I'm trying to think of an embarrassing moment that I can actually speak about.
We're slightly irreverent on this show, yes, so feel free to let it go, girl.
Two come to mind. Which one do I choose? I will choose when I was performing in the West End in 42nd Street. Peggy Sawyer was Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Wow.
And I had the honor of tripping her up every evening in one of the dance numbers. And it was in a partner section, and I was hand-to-hand with my male partner, and Catherine or Peggy would run into us, and I would have to kind of bump into her. But she, for some reason, I just kept missing her. So I ended up, like, trying to trip over Catherine Zeta-Jones, like, 3 or 4 times in a short space. So I'm sure I looked quite stupid trying to knock over Peggy Sawyer, who just would not get knocked over.
Oh, that's great.
No, but she was, did she have any fame there in the West End at that point?
No, she was a trained dancer. Mm-hmm. She came into 42nd Street as the third cover.
Ah.
And she got elevated very quickly. And from that, she became famous. She did a couple of television roles in the UK.
Lovely.
And then she came over here and did Zorro, and I think that's what she's
that did it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jeremy Rich.
I was nothing really embarrassing, more awkward,
right?
Especially from the casting perspective. I was working on a pilot of a TV show, and it was the network screen tests, and the actor who had come in to read, I was not originally supposed to be reading with them, but the person who was didn't show that day, and so I ended up having to read with him, and it's a very intimate scene. And the actor was Scott Wolfe from Party of Five, who I grew up watching. And at the end of the scene, all of a sudden I realize he's coming in for a kiss. I don't know what to do. Am I supposed to kiss him? It's happening. Now it's
oh
happening.
My.
And then you're like, okay.
Wow.
Nope. Now it's a French kiss.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, applaud for Scott for just going for it. And he ended up booking the part, actually.
Sure he did.
But it was a very awkward moment when the head of ABC is standing.
Right.
And he's like, way to go for it, Jeremy. And I was thanks.
Wow. You do what you have to do. That's all I can say, right? We all do what we have to do.
That could have gone bad in so many ways, you know.
You guys, how great was this show? So
lots
nice to have
today.
You,
thank
Carrie,
you
and to meet you with
us.
That beautiful accent that you have. I will take that with me for the rest of the day. And Jeremy, thank you for joining us here. And we look forward to your return at LA's Next Great Stage Star on February 19th.
Cool. Yes,
Andrew, always a pleasure.
A great pleasure. Michael, drive safe on the way home. Everybody be careful out there in the rain.
Absolutely.
And we'll all get home safely. Michael, where will I see you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.